Again, it's a wonderful privilege to have with us Dr. Kent Hovind talking to us about the basic foundations of our faith. Faith that is built upon the Word of God. The Word of God, which is a revelation of the eternal God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You just didn't happen. You were created by God, marvelously designed, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we are thrilled to have him with us tonight. He'll be speaking tomorrow morning to our high school chapel. He'll be then going down to Murrieta, speaking to our college chapel. Be back with us on the radio at 3 o'clock. Doing to every man an answer, and if he survives, he'll be here tomorrow night. So we're going to take full advantage while he's with us and squeeze as much out of him as we can. But it's been a real joy to have him. Now, tonight we're going to have sort of two parts. He's going to give his presentation to us, and then we'll stand together, and you that need to go may go, but he'll then stay, and the second session will be a question-answer session, where he'll be answering some of the difficult questions that have arisen because of the teaching of evolution and all, and giving you some good answers when you have to talk with people who have been sold on the evolutionary theory. And so the second session will be separate from and an adjunct to the first session, but it will give you a chance to interact with him in a question-answer session. But you don't have to stay for that, is what we're saying. If you have, to get home, you don't need to feel like, I've got to stay. So we'll give a chance for those that need to leave, and then we'll go on into the question-answer session. So without any further ado, I'd like to again present to you Dr. Kent Hovind, our guest speaker.
Well, once again, it's an honor to be here tonight. How many were here this morning? How many were not here this morning? How many do not understand the question so far? No, just know what we're dealing with here. Well, my name's Ken Hovind, has been for a long time. I was a high school science teacher for 15 years, and now I travel around and do seminars on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Let me share a few things with you this morning. I told you that I believe the Bible is the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of the living God. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover on mine says Kent Hovind. I believe that. And this, like I told you this morning, it's not my wife, just a picture. And we have three kids, one of each. And my son Eric just got married, and he and his wife travel around and do seminars, my very same seminar. He's in preaching in Dodge City today and Arkansas Wednesday and then going back home. But we got three of us going out speaking now. Let's see, the Bible says, in the beginning, first three words. When was the beginning? I mean, how old is the earth anyway? Believe it or not, it is an extremely important question. This question right here that we're going to deal with tonight, the age of the earth, has split many churches, has split major denominations, and this is the heart of the battle with the conservatives versus the liberals. This is it, folks. Jesus said, it is said of Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, by him were all things created. Since Jesus created everything, he probably knows how old it is, right? And Jesus said in Matthew 19:4, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? By the way, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Same thing in Mark 10:6. Jesus said that was the beginning. Well, if that was the beginning, and the Bible says death came by sin, by man came death, in Adam all die. You see, nothing died until Adam sinned, and Adam was the first man. I mean, the Bible is real clear on this topic. And the Bible tells us Adam lived 130 years and begat a son and called him Seth. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. The dates are all given in the Bible, folks. If you add them up, it comes to approximately 6,000 years ago for the creation. And this timeline here shows the biblical view of history. 6,000 years ago, God created everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood that destroyed everything. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. And here we are today, waiting for the Lord to come back in about 5 minutes. This is the biblical view. This is the biblical view of history. I mean, if you gave the Bible to 10,000 people that knew nothing about it and said, read this and tell me what it says, everybody would come up with the same teaching. That's the obvious plain reading of Scripture. So, here we got textbooks teaching the kids tomorrow morning in this town. Thousands of kids are going to be taught the earth is billions of years old. Right? Well, who's right about this anyway? These are the two basic timelines, the same information on this chart right here in front of me. The textbooks in school tell the kids 20 billion years ago there was a big bang. 4.6 billion years ago the earth cooled down and developed a hard rocky crust. And it rained on the rocks for millions of years and turned them into soup. And the soup came alive about 3 billion years ago. And the first life form found somebody to marry. Pretty good trick. And something to eat. And very slowly evolved into everything we see today. I was asked to speak at this college in Boston one time. They said, you can speak at our college if our professors can ask you any questions they want. Because we'd like to show our students how dumb the creationists really are. I said, I would be glad to come for that. So I showed up and there were 6 professors and all their students in the room, you know. I felt like Daniel in the lion's den. I got my charts out and I said, folks, I believe the Bible. Nobody cheered. And I shared the Bible view, which says, you know, 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. And Noah took 2 of each kind of animal on the ark. And after the flood was over, the animals began to have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And there got to be a lot of new variations, but no real evolution. Just the same kind, just different varieties. And then I told them what they believe, of course, the 20 billion years ago and, you know, 4.6 billion years ago, the earth cooled down and the soup coming alive, you know, 3 billion years ago. This one professor was getting pretty upset. He stood up, interrupted the meeting. He said, Dr. Hovind, excuse me just a moment. He said, did you know there are 250 varieties of dogs in the world? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you mean to tell me that all those dogs came from just 2 dogs on Noah's Ark? You expect me to believe that? Ha, ha, ha. I said, sir, would you look at what you're teaching your students? You're teaching your students that all the dogs in the world came from a rock. He didn't have any more questions after that. I was in a debate. I do a lot of debates at universities. I have so much fun. Oh, man. This debate I was in a few months ago, this lady came storming down the aisle. Boy, you could see her coming a mile away. Smoke coming out her ears. She was mad. I thought, brother, I'm in trouble now, you know. She walked up and she was just shaking. She was so angry. She said, Mr. Hovind, tonight, you said we believe we come from a rock. We do not believe that. I said, oh, ma'am, calm down. Tell me, where did we come from? She said, we came from a macromolecule. I said, where did that come from? She said, it came from the oceans, from the prebiotic soup. I said, where did that come from? She said, well, it rained on the rocks for millions of years. It slowly dawned on her. You know, I do think I come from a rock, don't I? Yes, ma'am, you sure do. Which is fine. If you believe that, fine. Don't be ashamed of it. But don't call it science. For heaven's sake, that's not science. Anyway, I'm not one of these guys that says it was 4004 B.C., October 23rd at 2 in the afternoon. I'm not sure exactly when the creation was, but about 4000 B.C. or 6000 years ago. I got a phone call one time. This lady said, what does the YA stand for on your chart? Years ago. Now, the skeptics ask me all the time. I do lots of these debates. I have so much fun. And the atheists will say, now, Dr. Hovind, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Then they had Seth. Who did Adam's sons marry? Like, boy, we got you now. You know, the Bible says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and went to the land of Nod and knew his wife. Doesn't say he found her there. Says that's where they had their first child, right? He probably brought her with. So where did Cain get his wife anyway? Where did Seth get a wife? I tell the atheists, I say, look, Bell, if you believe in evolution, you got a much worse problem than I do. You guys believe 4.6 billion years ago the earth cooled down, then it rained on the rocks and turned them into soup, you know. In the oceans, the first living organisms appeared. Just appeared. They use that word a lot. This one says, swirling in the waters of the oceans is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals. Progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. I guess it is. This textbook used in college says, the first self-replicating systems must have emerged in this organic soup. I say, now, if you believe in evolution, fella, you got to get two cells to evolve of the opposite sex in the same place at the same time in history. It's a big world, you know. Cells are kind of small. They got to find each other. You got a bunch of problems I don't have. See, I don't have a problem because my Bible says Adam lived after he begat Seth 800 years and begat sons and daughters. How many kids could you have in 800 years? Several, right? So in the first generation, they married sisters. Told you this morning about this. We'll just review just for those that weren't here. First place, there's no other choice. Okay. Secondly, who would you report them to? Thirdly, there were no laws against it till 2,500 years later when Moses gave the law. See, they didn't need any laws against that in the original creation because there weren't any deformed chromosomes. You wouldn't have any deformed children. See, everything about you is inherited. Even having children is hereditary. If your parents don't have any, you won't either. How's that work, Brother Hovind? I don't know, but it works. You say, no, wait a minute now. You can't marry sisters. What about genetic similarity? Well, Adam married his rib. You talk about genetic similarity. Anyway, it's not a problem in the first generation. By the way, you won't notice this reading your Bible, but when you graph it out, you'll notice Adam lived long enough to know his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Lamech. Noah's daddy knew Adam. Can you for 56 years. Can you imagine a family reunion back in those days? All right, everybody hop on the camel. We're going to go visit great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. And he's going to tell us what it was like in the Garden of Eden before the first woman ate the first man out of house and home. I tell a lot of Adam and Eve jokes in my seminar. One lady said, just where would you men be without us women? I said, in the Garden of Eden. But it'd be lonely, okay? By the way, after Adam and Eve got married, you know, about a couple weeks later, Adam was talking to the Lord one day, and he said, Lord, can I ask you a couple questions? The Lord said, sure, Adam, what would you like to know? He said, well, first I'd like to know why you made Eve so beautiful. The Lord said, Adam, I had to do that, so I did that so you would be attracted to her. He said, Lord, it's working. He said, Lord, I got another question, though. Why did you make her kind of a airhead? He said, Adam, I had to do that so she would be attracted to you. We've had that trouble ever since. Anyway, you won't notice this reading your Bible either. But when you add up the dates and graph it out, like if you get my seminar notebook, the last page folds out to be that graph down there hanging from the bottom, the one up on the screen here. You'll notice that Adam or Noah lived a long time after the flood, too. And Noah's son Shem lived long enough to know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I remember reading a verse in the book of Genesis that kind of confused me one time. Remember when Jacob was brought down to Egypt with his 12 sons? You know he's going to live there in his old age. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said, I'm 130 years. But he said, the years of my life have been few and evil, have the years of my life been, and have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers. I read that and I thought, what's he talking about? He's 130 years old and he says, this is nothing. You should see my ancestors. Isn't that basically what he's saying here? Jacob could have known Shem, Arphaxad, Selah, and Eber. I bet they could tell a few stories, couldn't they? Shem could talk about what it was like before the flood. That would be interesting. In that pre-flood world when they lived to be 900. Anyway, textbook says the earth is billions of years old. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Now, was he lying? When was the beginning? How old is the earth anyway? Here the books are telling the kids it's billions of years old. Millions of years ago. Billions of years ago. Are the books full of this or not? They're full of it, aren't they? Edit that tape, would you, brother? They're full of this teaching, I should say. There are even some Christians going around teaching the earth is billions of years old. I had a debate a few months ago on the radio with Hugh Ross. We got another one coming up on the John Ankerberg show. I'm sure he loves the Lord, but there's an awful lot of stuff he teaches that I think is just plain dangerous. And we're going to have a good debate on that one for 6 hours. Hope to straighten him out on a few things. But here we got these Christians teaching the earth is billions of years old. People say, who cares? What difference does it make? Well, for one thing, the credibility of Genesis is at stake. The clear, obvious teaching of Genesis is about 6,000 years old. The credibility of Jesus is at stake. He cited Genesis 25 times. Apparently, he believed it, right? Nearly every other book in the Bible refers back to Genesis. So your whole Bible stands and falls basically on this question, I believe. How old is the earth? Jesus said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. He wrote of me. So how old is the earth anyway? Let's look at a few scientific indicators. This news article in July said, last weekend the world's population topped 6 billion. If you don't know how much a billion is, don't worry about it because Congress has no idea either. But a billion is a lot. In 1985, there were 5 billion people on the planet. In 1800, there was 1 billion people. Almost everybody agrees there were about a billion people in 1800. Nobody argues with this. And everybody agrees the population is growing rapidly. Nobody argues with you about that. But the world is not overcrowded. Did you know the entire world's population today, 6 billion people, would fit inside the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida? Twice. That city has 25 billion square feet. One city. The world's not overcrowded. Have you driven across Nebraska or Kansas or Wyoming or Montana? Just drive across Southern California. Look, folks, if it's overcrowded where you are, move. There's room out there, okay? Anyway, when Jesus was here, at the time of Jesus Christ, there were about 250 million people. You know, the population growth curve looks like the whole thing started about 4,400 years ago. Well, that's interesting, because the Bible teaches 6,000 years ago, God created everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. 8 people survived on Noah's Ark. If you start with 8 people having kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, you can get a population of 5 or 6 billion in a few thousand years. So the question is, if the evolution theory is true and man has been here for 3 million years, why aren't there more people? Do you realize in 3 million years, the population would have grown to where today we would have 150,000 people per square inch? That would be crowded. Well, they've not been here for 3 million years, folks. By the way, how many have ever heard of the New World Order? George Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, all these guys would like a new world order. The plans for the new world order is to have the world population reduced to 500 million by the year 2000. You know, in the Genesis story, the serpent came to Eve and tricked her, you know, and the Lord said, that's it, fella, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust the rest of your life. And then the Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. The devil knows someday some seed of the woman is going to bruise his head. And he's not looking forward to that. And so he's trying to kill every human being alive. One of the devil's plans all through history has been to try to destroy all of humanity. Remember when Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus in Bethlehem? What did he do? Slew all the children, right? He's only really after one. And the devil's only really after the one that's going to bruise his head, but he don't know who it is, so he's going to try to kill every one of us. He hates humans. Jacques Cousteau said, in order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people a day. I know where he got that idea. From his father, the devil. Charles Worcester said, people are the cause of all the problems. We have too many of them. We need to get rid of some of them. Get rid of people, huh? The world has cancer. The cancer is man. This is the philosophy we're dealing with, folks. Ted Turner said a total world population of 250 to 300 million, a 95% decline would be ideal. All right, Ted, you first. And please take your wife, Hanoi Jane Fonda, next. During the Vietnam War, Jane Fonda went to tour the North Vietnamese prison camps. Maybe some of you haven't heard about that. The prisoners heard an American is coming. So they wrote their social security number on a little piece of paper with a note, "Please tell my family I'm still alive." They stuck it in their hand. She walked down and shook hands with all these prisoners. They each kept cramming this little note into her hand. She got to the end of the line, had this wad of paper. She didn't even look at it. She walked over to the commandant, handed him the wad of paper, and said, "These men are trying to get a message out. Every one of them was beaten. Four of them died from the beating." That's why they call her Hanoi Jane Fonda. Prince Philip said, "If I could be reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. Go 7 miles north of Elberton, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. You will find the Georgia Guidestones, set up in 1980. On the Georgia Guidestones, you will find in 12 languages the Ten Commandments for the New Age. Commandment number one on these Georgia Guidestones says, maintain humanity under 1/2 billion. Excuse me? Maintain under 500 million. There's already 6 billion. The plan is to reduce the population, folks, by the year 2000 on May 5th. That's the target date. I hope they don't reach their goal, but this is what they're striving for. See, they think on May 5th is when we're going to enter the age of Aquarius. May 5th happens to be Karl Marx's birthday. And the goal is to get the world population reduced to 500 million in the next 5 months. Now, like I said, I'm not predicting anything. I hope they don't reach their goal. But I suspect they're going to use Y2K as an excuse for something. I'm not worried about the computers with Y2K. I'm worried about the politicians. This is too good of an opportunity for guys, you know, that are already in the White House and can't get a job and would like to stay there to declare martial law. I don't know. We shall see. Anyway, May 5th is when we enter the age of Aquarius. And they think it's... their spirit guides have told them to reduce the population to 500 million. Now, the spirit guides are actually demons. These are the guys that sit around all day with their thumb and their finger together and they cross their legs and they contemplate their navel for hours at a time. And they think that's their job to reduce the population. Now, regardless, the population today indicates man has not been here for millions of years. So if those who believe it is, man's been here for 3 million years, I think have a serious problem. Let's look at a few more facts from science here. Galaxies are spinning, but the stars in the middle are going faster than the ones at the outside. So if they were billions of years old, they would not have the spiral shapes to them. Spiral galaxies indicate they are not billions of years old. They would have been spun smooth into one homogeneous mass. They wouldn't have the spiral arms because the stars are moving different speeds. Textbooks tell the kids red giant stars slowly evolve into white dwarf stars. They say it takes billions of years for the red giants to slowly become a white dwarf. Typical textbook propaganda. Now, just a minute. We know the ancient Egyptians called Sirius a red star. All the ancient astronomers said Sirius, which is the brightest star in the sky, was red. And yet today, Sirius is a white dwarf. It happens in less than 2,000 years. It doesn't take billions of years like the textbook says. The moon, Jupiter, is cooling off rapidly. It's losing heat twice as fast as it gains it. Now, you can't just keep losing heat. Pretty soon, it's cooled off. Right? I mean, if you came into the room and found a cup of coffee sitting on the table, and I said, "Don't touch the coffee, it's hot." And you said, "Whose is it?" I said, "I don't know, it's been sitting there for 400 years. That'd be kind of hard to believe, don't you think? And they want me to believe these planets are billions of years old and they're losing heat. Saturn has rings around it, but the rings are moving away from the planet. They're unstable. They're less than 10,000 years old, folks. They'd have been gone more than 10,000 years. And yet they're telling us the universe is billions of years old. Well, then why does Saturn still have rings? Jupiter has a moon called Ganymede, but it's constantly losing heat. And Ganymede has a strong magnetic field, indicating it cannot be billions of years old. The moon is going around the Earth. How many knew that already? Okay. But you know, as the moon goes around, it's gradually getting farther away. We're slowly losing the moon. It's only a few inches a year. No big deal. Nothing to worry about. Plus, nothing you could do about it anyway. But the moon is getting farther from the Earth every year. Now, kids, this is going to be complicated, so listen carefully. The moon gets farther from the Earth every year. So that means that it used to be closer. How many can figure that out with no help? 4, 5, 6. Okay. Well, if you bring the moon back in closer, you start to create a problem because the moon causes the tides. And there's a law in physics known as the inverse square law, which says if you half the distance, you quadruple the attraction. If you brought the moon back into 1/3 the distance, the pull would be 9 times as great. 1/3 flipped over and squared. So the moon tells us it cannot be billions of years old, because just a few billion years ago, the moon would have been so close, the tides would have been so high, it would drown everything on Earth twice a day. And you can only drown comfortably once a day. I have in my office at home a porthole from a space capsule. It is so pitted you can hardly see through it, because outer space is full of dust. Now, the scientists knew about dust in space for a long time. They've done all sorts of testing to see how much dust is in space coming into the Earth. When they got ready to go land on the moon, they became very concerned about the dust in space, because the moon runs into this dust. And the moon doesn't have any wind or water to mix it in with the soil, so it just lands there and stays. They calculated the dust would be pretty thick on the moon. Littleton, the famous astronomer, said in 1955, before they went to the moon, there could be a layer of dust several miles deep on the moon. Isaac Asimov said, I get a picture, therefore, of the first spaceship picking out a nice level place for landing purposes, coming in slowly downward, tail first, and sinking majestically out of sight. That was in 1959, before they went to the moon. Here's a children's book from 1959. They said, boys and girls, the moon does not look like the Earth. There are no trees, no lakes, no water, just dust. Dust, dust, dust. They were so concerned about landing on the moon, they put huge landing pads on the spacecraft to spread the weight out, give it the snowshoe effect. They actually sawed the ladder off. The ladder was 18 inches too short. The guy had to jump down to the moon. He was worried about ripping his suit. You don't want to get a rip in your suit out there. 18 inches too short. They fully expected the thing to sink into the dust. Some. I've got the videotape of the whole first hour conversation on the moon. Almost all of it, they're talking about, hey, where's the dust up here? And it wasn't here. I talked to the guy who built the backpack that he wore. And the guy's now a pastor in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He said, Brother Hovind, I worked at NASA. I built the backpack. He said, I was instructed to build it dustproof in case he sank into the dust. They were still worried about it when they landed on it. When they got there, though, they found out the dust wasn't there. So the Christians at NASA said to the evolutionists, they said, hey, fellas, how old is the moon? They said, well, it's billions of years old. They said, well, where's the dust? Now, they didn't say it, but I know they were thinking it. You know, I bet the Baptists went up and cleaned that just to make us look stupid. No, we didn't do it. I can tell them where the dust is. See, the moon is not billions of years old. They left plates behind to collect dust. They found out the accumulation of dust is actually much less than they expected. It's not an inch in 10,000 years. It's actually only an inch or 2.7 inches per million years. That's the actual measured accumulation. So it's a lot less than they thought. But that still works out to be 1,000 feet of dust in 4.6 billion years. They still have a problem. Some Christians are saying the moon dust is not a valid argument. I think it still is, folks. Certainly it's not billions of years old. Okay. Comets are flying around through space, but they're constantly losing material. The stuff blowing off the tail, that's part of the comet. It's losing. You can't just keep losing and losing, okay? Pretty soon it's gone. It's sort of like your checkbook. See, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall every time. So these comets have a life expectancy of less than 10,000 years. I mentioned this in a seminar one time, and one scoffer, there are 137 websites and articles on websites, just anti-Hovind articles. I'm so proud of myself. I'm thrilled. This one guy's got a whole website devoted just to me. He said, here's a quote from him. He said, in the 1950s, a Dutch astronomer named Jan Oort proposed that a great spherical shell of comets existed in the remote frontiers of our solar system. He said, this Oort cloud is 50,000 astronomical units away. Now, in case you don't know, one astronomical unit is the distance from the Earth to the sun. That's called one astronomical unit. That's a big number. He said, this Oort cloud is 50,000 astronomical units away. Well, there's a problem with this. No one has ever seen the Oort cloud. Oort never saw the Oort cloud. Turned out it's based on a mathematical goof. There is no Oort cloud. Doesn't exist. But this scoffer said, if you fellows want to use the comet argument, it's up to you to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the Oort cloud and other sources don't exist. Now, hold on just a minute. How would you prove the non-existence of something? Where would you start to do that? I would say if he wants to use my tax dollars to teach the kids the Earth is billions of years old, it's up to him to prove it does exist. All we know is we do have comets. They don't last long. The Bible teaches the earth is 6,000 years old. Looks to me like it fits together pretty good. Now, if he's got a problem with that, it's his problem, not mine. Everything from the heavens declares the glory of God. The psalmist said, when I consider thy heavens. Hey, kids, it says when, not if. You would do yourself a favor to shut off the TV, shut off the record player, shut off the CD player, shut off the Game Boy, and go consider the heavens for a while. He said, when I consider the heavens. You know, the psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. The word muse is only used twice in the entire Bible. There they are. It literally means to think. That's what the word means. Just, we don't take time to stop and think anymore, folks. We're so busy. You ought to take time to meditate, to muse. English is a neat language. The word theist means a person who believes in God. Now, if you add the letter A in front of the word, it means the opposite of. An atheist is a person who does not believe in God. The word muse means to think. The word amuse literally means to not think. That's what the word means. Did you know they have whole parks where you can pay and go do that? Anybody ever heard of them before? Amusement parks. That's what the word means, folks. To not think. He said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, you can always tell somebody that spends his time thinking and considering what God has done, they're not impressed with what man can do. Now, parents, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings here, but you need to go home and look in your kid's bedroom. And if you find posters all over the wall with sports heroes, your kids are being taught to focus on what man can do. They're not being taught to focus on what God has done. Think about that. You consider the heavens, it doesn't matter what man can do. We got a lot of kids that are sports crazy that couldn't name the 12 disciples. I think we're making a big mistake raising our kids that way. The Bible says, speak to the earth and it shall teach thee. How old is the earth? Well, the earth is like a big magnet, and magnets lose their strength. The earth's magnet is losing its strength continually. It's getting weaker and weaker, which means, of course, it cannot be billions of years old, and that means carbon dating cannot work for more than a few thousand years. During Q&A, we can bring up carbon dating if you'd like. I got a whole 20-minute section on that on video number 7, my all question answer tape. Some of the skeptics have knew this was a problem about the earth's magnetic field getting weaker, and so they said maybe the earth's magnetic field is reversing. And so they went to the bottom of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge to try to find evidence that the Earth's magnetic field is reversing. The textbook will say there are magnetic reversals on the ocean floor. How many have heard of this before? Okay. This is to answer the embarrassing problem of the declining strength of the magnetic field. It's never been observed to reverse. It's only been observed to decline. For 300 years, that's all we've seen. It's declining. Actually, there are no magnetic reversals. What happened? They measured areas of stronger and weaker magnetism. And somebody drew a line through the middle and said everything below the halfway point is a reversal. Major mistake. The line should have gone down there. There are no magnetic reversals on the ocean floor. Only areas of stronger and weaker magnetism. We cover a whole lot more on that on video number 6 about the flood and the Hoban theory. A couple of more thoughts here. The earth is spinning. We're turning around. At the equator, it's going about 1,000 miles an hour. But it is slowing down. Every day, the earth slows down just a little bit. In 1990, they had to add a tick to the clock because the clocks were off by a second. This article says right here, regular clocks use days as a measure which are growing longer by 1/1000th of a second or more daily as Earth's rotation slows. 1992, Astronomy Magazine announced, Earth's rotation is slowing down. June will be 1 second longer than normal. We will have a leap second. Leap second. Now, most people have heard of leap year, but many people have never heard of leap second. Did you know we have a leap second every year and a half now because the Earth is slowing down? Now, kids, this is going to be complicated, so listen carefully. The Earth is spinning, but it is slowing down. So that means that it used to be going faster. How many can figure that out with no help? 7, 8, 9. We gained 3. Okay. Well, now, if the Earth is only 6,000 years old, this is not a problem. It was going a little faster. Adam wouldn't notice. He didn't have a watch anyway, but that we know of. But some of these guys want me to believe the Earth is billions of years old. Ooh, now that would make a problem. If you go back a billion or 2 years, adding a thousandth of a second per day to the spin of the Earth was going real fast. Your days and nights would be very quick. Get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed. You never get nothing done. The winds would have been 5,000 miles an hour from the Coriolis effect. And you think dinosaurs lived 200 million years ago? I know what happened to them. They got blown off. No, they did not live 200 million years ago. Okay. The Sahara Desert has what is called a prevailing wind pattern. The wind almost always blows the same direction. Well, this creates a problem because the hot air coming off the desert kills the trees at the edge, and pretty soon that area becomes desert. The process is called desertification. Deserts grow. Sahara Desert is the largest desert in the world. It's 1,300 miles north to south, and it's growing 4 miles a year. Now, people at the edge are speeding up the process because of poor farming and stuff, but even without people, the desert would still grow. They just finished quite a lengthy study on this and said, you know what? The Sahara Desert's about 4,000 years old. Well, that's pretty old, but I got a question. If the Earth is millions of years old, why don't we have a bigger desert someplace? Why is the biggest desert in the world only 4,000 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, just like the Bible says. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. It's pretty hard to have a desert under a flood. And so the desert couldn't start growing until the flood water went down. So I predict, based on what the Bible says, the biggest desert should be less than 4,400 years old. It is. Wow. Maybe that book is right after all. Huh. Interesting. But you know, when they drill down into the ground, sometimes they hit oil. The oil's under incredible pressure, up to 20,000 pounds per square inch. It'll come squirting up out of the ground, like a big zip. 20,000 PSI. The guys who studied the rocks on top of the oil say, you know, you can't handle that much pressure for more than about 10,000 years. The pressure should have cracked the rock. The pressure should be gone. Okay. Well, then I've got two obvious questions. Number one, where did the oil come from? Number two, why is it still under pressure? Well, nearly all scientists agree that oil comes from organisms that are squished. They can take a ton of garbage in the laboratory and squeeze it into oil in a few minutes. Under natural pressures, it can be done in 1,000 years. Sinclair Oil Company has the dinosaur as their logo. They say the dinosaurs turned to oil. Yes, boys and girls, dinosaurs mellowed for 80 million years. I don't think so. Here's my theory about the oil. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. In that flood, lots of critters and people drowned. And they got buried by the gravel and sand and rocks and mud, and it got pretty heavy after a while, and it squished them into oil. So the oil is down there from the people and animals that drowned in the flood. So that means if you stop and think about that, you drove over here tonight on some of your ancestors. Next time you're at the gas station pumping them in there, you say, bye, Grandpa. You should have listened to Noah. He told you it was going to rain. I was in Denver, Colorado, preaching there one time, and these guys came to the meeting, and they said, now, Dr. Hovind, we know you teach the earth is only 6,000 years old. We'd like to prove to you you're wrong. Come with us, please. Okay, I said, okay. I went to the Denver National Ice Core Laboratory. These guys drill holes through the ice, and they save the hole, and they test it to see how old it is. In Lakewood, Colorado, they have the National Ice Core Laboratory. I got to go inside the freezer, 36 below zero. I have Florida blood, folks. It was chilly in there. I saw these massive ice cores. They drill holes in Greenland and at the South Pole, and they bring up the center part of the hole with this big coring machine. And this core that they bring out has rings on it. They call them annual rings. They said, now, Dr. Hovind, we drilled the deepest hole in the world. It's 10,000 feet through the ice. That's the deepest ice core. We drilled it. It's sitting right here in these tubes. And they showed them to me and had one laid out on the table. They said, we counted 135,000 annual rings. Because if you look at the core, you see it's got dark and light and dark and light lines on it. And they said, what happens? You see, in the summer, the snow melts a little bit, and then it refreezes and it makes clear ice. In the winter, the snow packs and it makes milky colored ice. So you get summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter, and we can count 135,000 of them. They said, how can you say the earth is only 6,000 years old? I said, well, fellas, aren't you assuming those are annual rings? See, they did not know about the lost squadron. But during World War II, some airplanes ran out of gas and went back and landed in Greenland. Some guy got the brilliant idea to go dig them out. When they found the airplanes, they were under 263 feet of ice in 48 years. Well, now, let's see. 48 years, 263 feet. Let's get the calculator out here. That's about 5.5 feet a year. Now, the deepest hole they drilled is 10,000 feet. That's only 1,800 years, not 135,000. Now, the deeper you go, the more the layers get squished. I'm familiar with all that. They call it glacial fern. I taught earth science for 15 years. So really, 4,400 years is more reasonable to account for all the ice at the South Pole. Now, I got curious about this, so I went and visited the place. Not the place. I went and visited the airplane. It's in Middleborough, Kentucky. I talked to the guy who dug it out. They melted holes down, took the airplane apart, and brought the pieces up through the holes. The guy's name is Bob Carden. There's his phone number right there. I said, Bob, I understand you dug out the airplane. Is that right? He said, yes, I did. I said, tell me, when you dug down to get to the airplane, did you find there were layers of ice above the airplane? He said, well, yeah, many hundreds of them. I said, Bob, how can you get many hundreds of annual rings in 48 years? He said, those aren't annual rings. That's not summer, winter, summer, winter. It's warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, cold. You can get 20 of those in 1 week. Right? Those are not annual layers. But guess what? Scientific American last year still called them annual rings. Now, either the author is ignorant or he's a liar. I hope he's just ignorant. Ignorance can be fixed. Stupid is forever, but ignorance can be fixed, okay? You know, the Mississippi River is depositing mud sediments at the rate of 80,000 tons an hour. They call it the Muddy Mississippi. 80,000 tons of mud every hour come down the Mississippi and dump off in New Orleans. That delta is growing larger and larger and larger. Scientists studied the delta pretty carefully. They said the delta probably took about 30,000 years to get all that mud out there. Okay, well then I have a question. If the earth is millions of years old, why isn't the whole Gulf of Mexico full of mud by now? They're going to say, hey, it's 30,000 years old. That proves the Bible's wrong. The Bible says 6,000. Well, no. You see, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. As the flood water was running off, about half that mud washed out the first 20 minutes. So it looks like it took 30,000 years. They forgot the flood. It took about 4,400 for all the mud to get out there. Here's a picture of the oldest tree in the world. It's in Southern California, the bristlecone pine. It's 4,300 years old. Earth's oldest organism. That's a pretty old tree. But I have a question. If the earth is millions of years old, why don't we have an older tree someplace? I mean, why is the oldest tree 4,300 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. So the oldest tree ought to be less than 4,300 years old. 4,400, anyway. It is. Wow. Here's a picture of a coral reef. You know, the largest reef in the world is in Australia. It's called the Great Barrier Reef. I got a call from a church in Brisbane. They said, would you like to come preach over here? I said, I need to pray about this. He said, yes. When you're close, he answers fast, you know. I said, I went over and preached in Brisbane, Australia. I got to go scuba diving at the Great Barrier Reef. It was incredible. During World War II, some of the reef was destroyed by ships and bombs and anchors and stuff like that. And so the environmentalist wackos went out there to see how fast it grows back. They watched it grow for 20 years. It was a government project. After watching the reef grow for 20 years, they decided the Great Barrier Reef is less than 4,200 years old. That's pretty old. But I got a question. If the Earth is billions of years old, why don't we have a bigger reef someplace? I mean, why is the biggest reef less than 4,200 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. I bet you know what it is, don't you? This textbook shows a picture of Niagara Falls. It says right here, boys and girls, the rocky ledge above Niagara Falls has been eroding for nearly 9,900 years. Now, how do they know that? Well, the rocks are breaking off the edge, folks. Niagara Falls is eating its way south. It's eroding. The Canadians built a concrete wall on their side to make sure it erodes American soil. So they really did. The rocks break off the edge. The falls is moving back. All waterfalls do that. They eat their way backwards, depending on how fast or how hard the rock is. Niagara Falls is moving backwards 4.7 feet a year. The water goes over the falls into this big gorge called the Niagara Gorge or the Niagara Canyon. The Niagara Gorge is 7.5 miles long. Well, now, wait a minute. 7.5 miles, 4.7 feet a year, that's about 9,900 years. Well, I got a question then. Niagara Falls is right there. It used to be up there. It's moving backwards 4.7 feet a year. If it's billions of years old or even millions of years old, why isn't it back to Lake Erie by now? Why is Niagara Falls right there? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. See, I believe the Bible. And the Bible says God made the world about 6,000 years ago, and 4,400 years ago there was a flood. As the flood water was running off, about half that gorge washed out the first 20 minutes. Because they had lots more water moving through soft dirt. Today, it's hard rock. So it might look like it took 9,900 years. They forgot the flood. That messes them up every time. You know, when it rains, 30% of the water runs into the oceans, bringing with it mineral salts. The oceans are getting saltier every day. Today, they're 3.6% salt. They could have done that in less than 5,000 years. So if the world is billions of years old, why aren't the oceans saltier, like the Salton Sea or the Great Lakes or the Dead Sea or the Great Salt Lake? Why only 3.6%? I was in a debate one time, and this skeptic said, "No, Dr. Hovind, would you please answer a question for me? Do you believe there was a worldwide flood?" I said, "Oh, yes, sir." He said, "How did the freshwater fish survive?" I said, "Well, sir, aren't you assuming the flood was saltwater?" He said, "Well, the ocean is saltwater." I said, "Well, yeah, it is today, but see, it's been getting saltier every day, so I think during the flood it was all fresh water." He said, "Okay, how did the saltwater fish survive?" I said, "Well, there weren't any." He said, "The ocean is full of saltwater animals." I said, "Well, yeah, it is today, but you see, it's gradually gotten saltier, and many animals have had to learn to adapt to salt water, or don't live there. And today we have freshwater alligators and saltwater alligators, and they probably had a common ancestor. An alligator." He said, "Well, that's evolution." I said, "No, come on now, sir. Going from a freshwater alligator to a saltwater alligator is a very minor change compared to what you believe. See, you believe they changed from a rock to an alligator. That would be a major change." How many have ever gone into a cave and the guide said, "Don't touch the stalactites. They take millions of years to form." You ever heard that before? Yes, boys and girls, when you go to Carlsbad, they'll say it took 250 million years. I don't think so. They say it takes 1,000 years to grow 1 inch. Well, let's see. We got a bat covered up with flowstone before he could rot. Don't you think he would rot in less than a few thousand years? About 50-inch long stalactites growing under the Lincoln Memorial, built 1922. 2-inch stalactites growing off a refrigeration shed in Pensacola, Florida. They closed down a mine in Australia. 55 years later, they opened it up, and there were giant flowstone formations in there in 55 years. There's two people inside that circle for scale. This was in 55 years. A guy in Wyoming had a spring on his property. The water bubbled up out of the ground. He stuck a pipe in it in 1903. The water came out the top of the pipe and ran down the sides. Some of it evaporated. As it evaporated, it left behind a mineral deposit, like you get the spots at the bottom of your sink. How many have seen those before? The rust spots under your sink. Okay. Well, the guy left the pipe in there. He died. The pipe is still there. It's just a little stream, about 3-inch diameter stream flowing out of this thing. A little creek about that wide flows out across the property. I was there a few months ago. I got to see the pipe sticking in his yard. Here it is today. Less than 100 years. They're going to tell you it takes millions of years for those things to form? I don't think so. When it rains, the dirt washes off the mountains and washes into the oceans. Let's see, we have landslides, mudslides, mass wasting, avalanches. Does the dirt ever fall up? Always down, right? Did you know at the current rate of erosion, the mountains will erode flat in 14 million years? How come they tell the kids we've got fossils that are 300 times older than that, still above sea level? They should have washed out the sea 14 times. 300 times, I mean. First fully developed systems of word writing appeared about 5,000 years ago. Well, now that's interesting. And the first languages were very complex. Actually, more complex than today. You see, folks, everything from history, everything from science tells us it's not billions of years old. I'm concerned that a lot of the books we have today are no longer books about science. They're actually books about evolution. They want to make sure the kids believe that theory before they get out of school. See, the evidence that the Earth is young is overwhelming. Those who want to believe it's billions of years old are simply wrong. I'll tell you what concerns me, though. When a Christian starts believing the Earth is billions of years old, it destroys their faith in this book. That's what happened to Crawford Toy. You probably never heard of Crawford Toy, but he was a great Southern Baptist seminary professor. He loved the Lord. He loved the Bible. He almost married a girl named Lottie Moon. Anybody ever heard of Lottie Moon? The Southern Baptists have the Lottie Moon offerings every Christmas. Crawford Toy said to his class one day, see, what happened? He began to think the earth is billions of years old because that's what everybody was teaching. Crawford knew that didn't fit the Bible. He said to his class, the Bible intends to teach a plain six-day creation. The Bible is simply in error at that point. The Bible's in error. Crawford, maybe your theory's in error. Maybe you got brainwashed, Crawford. Folks, it is very easy to get brainwashed. I will show you. I'm going to try to brainwash the entire crowd here tonight. Maybe you've never been brainwashed before. It's a harmless procedure. I'm going to tell you a story. As I tell the story, I will brainwash nearly all of you. When I'm done brainwashing you, I'm going to ask you two questions. And you probably will not know the answer to the questions about the story because I will successfully brainwash you. I even warned you I'm going to do it. Are you ready? Pay attention. Here goes the story. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men were waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? Now, if you know, don't say it out loud. Just raise your hand if you know who the masked men were. One, two, three. Looks like maybe 20. Okay, the rest of you, pay attention. We're going to try this again. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. I'll give you a hint. That's very important. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men were waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? Anybody new figure it out? One, two, three, four, five more. Okay. The rest of you, pay attention. We're going to try this one more time. Only this time, I'm going to un-brainwash you. See, you don't even know it, but you're brainwashed right now. I had you brainwashed in the first few seconds. I'm going to show you a picture that will un-brainwash you. I'm going to tell the exact same story, word for word. I won't change a thing. But look at the picture and see if you don't get un-brainwashed in just a few seconds. You ready? Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed there were two masked men waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men? The catcher and the umpire. You say, Brother Hovind, is it that easy to get brainwashed? Yep. You see, as soon as I said a man left home, you jumped to the wrong conclusion. You started thinking about a house. And for the rest of the story, you couldn't figure out who those two masked guys were, could you? Hey, Would you like to see how thousands, actually how millions of kids are going to get brainwashed tomorrow? Tomorrow morning, some teacher is going to say, boys and girls, we're going to read about prehistoric animals. Right? The first picture in the book is going to be of dinosaurs. And the first sentence in the book will say, millions of years ago. And in the first few seconds, those kids are brainwashed. You say, Brother Hovind, you mean the earth is not millions of years old? No. See, that's calling Jesus a liar. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Here's the Dr. Seuss book, and he believed in evolution. Not hundreds of years, not thousands of years, but millions of years before you were born. Kids get a steady diet of this. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Here we're teaching our kids the earth is millions of years old. You think that's being taught in schools around here? Folks, somebody's wrong. The Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Hey, if a kid goes 12 to 16 years to school in this town, how will he view the world? Maybe that's why so many Christians have done surveys and find out that between 70 and 75% of kids that go from Christian homes to secular schools lose their faith in the Bible. 75%. See, the devil knows if creation is true, there's a creator. If evolution is true, there is no creator. If creation is true, there are rules. If evolution is true, there are no rules. Hey, tell me, if evolution is true, how do you decide right from wrong? I spoke at a public school in Pennsylvania. A kid sat on the second row. He raised his hand. He said, Mr. Hovind, I'm an atheist. I said, really? He said, yep, there is no God. I said, are you sure? He said, oh, yeah, I'm sure. I said, well, tell me, son, do you know everything? He said, well, no. I said, well, do you know half of everything? He said, no. I said, okay, well, let's just pretend for a few minutes that you know half of everything. Is it possible that God exists in the other half you don't know? Brand new thought rattled around in his brain for a while and got lost. I said, by the way, son, if you're an atheist, let me ask you this question. How do you decide right from wrong? He said, oh, that's easy. I decide what's right and wrong because, he said, I'm the God of my own universe. I said, I'm glad to hear about that, son, because I'm going to shoot you in 5 minutes. He said, you can't do that. I said, oh, yeah, I can. You see, I'm the God of my own universe, and I decided it's fine for me to shoot you. Hey, if evolution is true, how do you decide right from wrong? They don't have a basis. Our founding fathers and our early politicians had a standard to determine right from wrong. It was called, thus saith the Lord. Right? We have lost that, folks. We now have a standard that goes like this. Let's take a poll and find out right from wrong. I get nervous when I see these politicians taking a poll to decide how to vote on something. Man, you ought to decide what's right and wrong, get yourself a standard to go by, and say, that's the way I'm going. Boy, we need some politicians, not some statesmen. Or some statesmen, not some politicians. You know, if creation is true, there's a purpose to life. Not with evolution. Maybe that's why the teen suicide rate's going up like crazy. If creation's true, man's a fallen creature, he needs a savior. If evolution is true, he doesn't need a savior. Saved from what? What is sin? If evolution is true, there's no such thing as sin. Hey, if creation is true, man brought death into the world. If evolution is true, death brought man into the world. Think about it. Here's how evolution works. One animal evolves a little better than the rest of them. What has to happen to the rest of them in order for this one to survive? And they all have to die, don't they? That was Adolf Hitler's philosophy. If you get my videotape number 5 of my blue series of tapes, which is my seminar, I found Hitler's hit list. Why he killed the Jews. The list he was going from. He had the races of the world divided in order and sequenced. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegian and German were first, the Aryans. Did you catch all that? Blonde hair, blue-eyed, Norwegian, bored and thought a tilly dog. And then he had them all listed. The last on the list was the Jews. He thought they had not evolved this far. That's why he was killing them. He was trying to speed up the evolutionary process. Right above them was the blacks. Hitler hated black people. Anybody know where the Olympics were held in 1936? Berlin, Germany. Does anybody know who won the most gold medals? Jesse Owens, the black American athlete. Hitler was so angry he walked out of the stadium. Hitler said, "It's not fair to make my men race against this animal." I cover that in video number 5. You see, if creation is true, man brought death into the world, and death is a terrible thing. But if evolution is true, death is a wonderful thing. That's how we get ahead. The world is cruel. If evolution is true, hey, if creation's true, there's an afterlife, not with evolution. If creation is true, there's comfort. You can know the future. You can actually know you're going to heaven, not with evolution. You have no idea where you're going. You say, "Brother Hovind, now wait a minute. If the earth is only 6,000 years old, when did the dinosaurs live?" Well, that takes 2 more hours. We cover that on video number 3. Dinosaurs always lived with man. They're mentioned in the Bible. There's probably a few still alive today. We cover all that on video number 3. And did they really live to be 900? How can you live to be 900 years old? Well, we cover that for 2 hours on video number 2 on how they lived to be 900 years old. They really did. You know, the Bible gives the cure in the first chapter for heart attacks, strokes, cancer, right in chapter 1. We got all that stuff on cancer in the Bible and health out there on the table out there. And I'm just not trying to say something. Folks, we put together a 15-hour seminar that answers lots of these questions. That'll be handy. Now, suppose, let's just pretend, okay? I don't know if it's going to happen. But suppose the New World Order folks get their way. Either through biological warfare or uprisings because of food shortages or Y2K, I don't know. But just suppose something happens and we're all dead in the next 5 months. Where would you go? I mean, if you died today, where would you go? Did you know you're going to be dead for a long time? I'm going to die someday. I'm going to try to make it the last thing I do, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen to you too. Where are you going? If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you better make that top priority. Now, if you are saved, you ought to get busy and do something for God. You know, all you've got in this life is one dash. That's all you got. Make the best of that dash. One dash. That's all I got. That's all you got. A date at the beginning, a date at the end, and a dash in the middle. What are you doing with your dash, folks? I recommend you use it for God. What are you doing with your life? If you're a Christian, what are you doing for heaven's sake? You say, "Brother Hovind, I watch football on TV." Who's going to care in 1,000 years? Huh? Who's going to care in 10 years? Does anybody know who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? Does anybody care? Doesn't matter, does it? All them grown men out there fighting over that one ball, they can all afford to go buy their own. Now look, it's not sinful. It's just stupid. You pay a guy $5 million to carry a pig bladder down a cow pasture, then pay another guy $5 million to carry it back. I'd do it for $5 if I get all them big lugs out of the way. You know, I think the devil has a lot of God's children distracted on things that don't matter. You know the purpose of a mobile? You put it over the crib. You wind it up. The kid lays there and he goes, "Oh." Right? The purpose is to distract him. Now, Satan knows he can't get you to go to hell if you're saved, but he can distract you and make you waste your life. I bet he's got some of you distracted. You're spending all of your time and energy trying to get a big collection of these things. Right? You know how much Howard Hughes left behind when he died? All of it. You're going to do the same thing. I would recommend you find something to do for God. Now look, if you're not going to preach, at least support the preacher who will. If you're not going to go to the mission field, at least support the missionary who will. If you're not going to teach a Sunday school class, at least show up for Sunday school on time and stay awake. Everybody can do something for the Lord. The worst of you could serve as bad examples, if nothing else, okay? But you could all do something for God with your life. Man, let's get busy. You got one dash. Let's make the best of it. Let's all stand and bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great church and for these people that love you. Lord, there's probably somebody here tonight that's not saved. If they die on the way home, they're headed straight for hell. Lord, I don't want that. I know you don't want that. Preacher doesn't want that. Lord, please help them to get convicted and realize they're lost. And help them to have common sense enough to ask for some directions, ask for some help, to let somebody show them how to go to heaven. And Lord, there might be some Christians here that are distracted. They're wasting their life, chasing money, chasing cars, chasing thrills. I don't know. But they're not doing anything for you. Father, please get them fired up tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you would like further information on tapes or our free catalog, contact the Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.